Harry had a lot of trouble keeping his mind on his lessons that day. It kept wandering up to the dormitory where his new broomstick was lying under his bed, or straying off to the Quidditch field where he'd be learning to play that night. He bolted his dinner that evening without noticing what he was eating, and then rushed upstairs with Ron to unwrap the Nimbus 2000 at last. "Wow!" Ron sighed as the broomstick rolled onto Harry's bedspread. Even Harry, who knew nothing about the different brooms, thought it looked wonderful. Sleek and shiny with a mahogany handle, it had a long tail of neat, straight twigs and Nimbus 2000 written in gold near the top. As 7 o'clock drew nearer, Harry left the castle and set off in the dusk toward the Quidditch field. He'd never been inside the stadium before. Hundreds of seats were raised in stands around the field so that the spectators were high enough to see what was going on. At either end of the field were three golden poles with hoops on the end. They reminded Harry of the little plastic sticks Muggle children blew bubbles through, except that they were 50 feet high. Too eager to fly again to wait for wood, Harry mounted his broomstick and kicked off from the ground. What a feeling! He swooped in and out of the goalpost and then sped up and down the field. The Nimbus 2000 turned wherever he wanted at his lightest touch. "Hey, Potter, come down!" Oliver Wood had arrived. He was carrying a large wooden crate under his arm. Harry landed next to him. "Very nice," said Wood, his eyes glinting. "I see what McGonagall meant. You really are a natural. I'm just going to teach you the rules this evening. Then you'll be joining team practice 3 times a week. He opened the crate. Inside were 4 different-sized balls. "Right," said Wood. "Now, Quidditch is easy enough to understand, even if it's not too easy to play. There are 7 players on each side. 3 of them are called chasers." 3 chasers, Harry repeated, as Wood took out a bright red ball about the size of a soccer ball. "This ball's called the quaffle," said Wood. "The chasers throw the quaffle to each other and try to get it through one of the hoops to score a goal. 10 points every time the quaffle goes through one of the hoops. Follow me?" "The chasers throw the quaffle and put it through the hoops to score," Harry recited. "So that's sort of like basketball on broomsticks with 6 hoops, isn't it?" "What's basketball?" said Wood curiously. "Never mind," said Harry quickly. "Now, there's another player on each side who's called the keeper. I'm keeper for Gryffindor. I have to fly around our hoops and stop the other team from scoring." 3 chasers, 1 keeper, said Harry, who was determined to remember it all, "and they play with the quaffle." "Okay, got that. So what are they for?" He pointed at the 3 balls left inside the box. "I'll show you now," said Wood. "Take this." He handed Harry a small club, a bit like a short baseball bat. "I'm going to show you what the bludgers do," Wood said. "These 2 are the bludgers." He showed Harry 2 identical balls, jet black and slightly smaller than the red quaffle. Harry noticed that they seemed to be straining to escape the straps holding them inside the box. "Stand back," Wood warned Harry. He bent down and freed 1 of the bludgers. At once the black ball rose high in the air and then pelted straight at Harry's face. Harry swung at it with the bat to stop it from breaking his nose and sent it zigzagging away into the air. It zoomed around their heads and then shot at Wood, who dived on top of it and managed to pin it to the ground. "See?" Wood panted, forcing the struggling bludger back into the crate and strapping it down safely. "The bludgers rocket around trying to knock players off their brooms. That's why you have 2 beaters on each team. The Weasley twins are ours. It's their job to protect their side from the bludgers and try and knock them toward the other team. So, think you've got all that?"